Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a dark, atmospheric riser rack in Ableton Live 12 using Sampler, and we're shaping it for that 90s-inspired jungle and old-school DNB feeling. So not a shiny festival sweep, not a huge polished EDM whoosh. We want murky tension, filtered noise, tape-like instability, a little grime, a little menace, and a rise that feels like it belongs right before a break drops hard. The whole idea here is to blend multiple sample layers inside an instrument rack until they feel like one expressive instrument. We're going to use three sampler chains, one for noise, one for tone, and one for texture. Then we'll control the whole thing with macros, add some post-processing, and make it feel like it was pulled from a dusty 90s sample library, not dropped in from a modern cinematic pack. First, let's think about source material. This part matters a lot, because the character of the riser starts with the sample choice. For the noise layer, grab something like white noise, tape hiss, vinyl hiss, a reversed cymbal wash, or even a bit of room tone or field recording with some airy top end. For the tonal layer, look for a sustained minor chord, a single note drone, a detuned pad, a restyle harmonic layer rendered to audio, or a stab that already has that old school darkness. Minor 7ths, minor 9ths, diminished flavors, and slightly detuned movement are all your friends here. For the texture layer, you want something that feels like sample debris. Vinyl crackle, a reverse hit, a chopped break fragment, a metallic tail, or even a short ambient sample from a drum break. If one of your tonal samples sounds too clean or too modern, don't be afraid to rough it up before it even gets into sampler. A bit of saturation, a low-pass filter, or a quick resample through a gritty chain can instantly make it sit more in the jungle world. Now let's build the rack. On a MIDI track, drop in an instrument rack. Inside that rack, create three chains and name them noise, tone, and texture. Then put one sampler in each chain and load your chosen sample into each one. This gives us independent control over each layer, but the whole thing still behaves like one playable instrument. Start with a noise chain. Open the sampler and keep it simple. Use classic mode, turn warp off if the sample works as a one-shot or a loop without stretching, and set voices to 1. For the amplitude envelope, use a long attack, somewhere around 1.5 to 4 seconds. No decay, little or no sustain, and a release that fades out naturally. You want this layer to swell in, not pop in. If it's a looped noise source, make sure the loop points are clean and click-free. For the filter, go darker rather than brighter. A low-pass 24 dB filter works well here, with a cutoff starting somewhere around 2 to 6 kHz depending on the sample, a touch of resonance, and a little drive if the noise feels too thin. If the noise is too static, add some subtle modulation. A slow LFO moving the cutoff or volume over 1 to 4 bars can create that fog rolling in movement. The key is subtlety. We are aiming for unease, not an obvious wobble. Next, open the tone chain. This is the emotional core of the riser, because it's the part the ear starts to latch onto. Make sure the root key is correct, then transpose it into the track's key if needed. If the sample is a chord, simplify it if it's too busy. If it's a single note, we can build the rise with pitch motion later. For the amplitude envelope, use a medium attack, maybe 0.5 to 2 seconds. No decay, low sustain, and a release that lingers for 2 to 5 seconds. Now for the filter. This is where the darkness and tension really happen. A low-pass 12 or 24 dB filter is perfect. Start the cutoff fairly low, maybe around 300 Hz to 1.5 kHz depending on the source, then automate it upward over the build. Add a touch of resonance, but don't overdo it. You want pressure, not whistling. If you want that classic jungle unease, map a macro to transpose or fine pitch and slowly bring the tone up by a few semitones over time. A rise of +2 to +7 semitones can be enough. Sometimes just +3 to +5 sounds stronger than a huge dramatic jump. You can also let the pitch drift slightly with a tiny amount of LFO. That instability gives it a tape era feel, a little nervous energy, which is exactly what we want. Now move to the texture chain. This layer is there to give the riser a sense of age and identity. A reverse hit, a break fragment, a metallic scrape, crackle, noisy ambience, or a short restyle all work well. Shape it with a shorter envelope, quick attack, no decay, low sustain, and a release that tails off somewhere around 0.5 to 2 seconds. Use a low-pass filter if it's too bright, or a bandpass if you want a more haunted mid-range character. If the texture feels too clean or too static, introduce a bit of randomness. A small start point variation or subtle parameter movement can make repeated triggers feel more organic and sampled. Now let's blend the layers inside the rack. This part is where the sound starts to become one instrument instead of three separate samples. As a starting point, keep the noise chain a little lower, the tone chain a bit more present, and the texture chain tucked underneath. In other words, noise provides motion, tone provides emotional lift, and texture provides character. If the whole thing starts sounding too glossy or modern, pull the tonal layer back a little and lean more on the texture and filtered noise. This is also where macro controls become super useful. Map a macro called Rise to the main cutoff changes and maybe the pitch movement on the tonal layer. Map another macro called Darkness to the overall high-end reduction or filter cutoff. Grit can control saturation or chain gain. Bass can control reverb and delay amount. Instability can handle tiny pitch variation, resonance or start point offset. And Blend can control the chain volumes so you can performance balance the layers in real time. Once these are mapped, you can automate the whole rack in a really musical way instead of fiddling with every parameter separately. After the rack, add some stock Ableton devices to shape the final character. Start with EQ8. Use it to high pass the low end if the riser is cluttering the subspace, and be careful with the upper mids if the sound gets piercing. A small dip in the harsh range can make a big difference. Then add saturator for a little grime. A few decibels of drive, soft clip-on, maybe the mild analog-style curve, and the sound starts to feel like it belongs next to crunchy breaks and rough bass. If you want even more old-school bite, automate the drive slightly as the build progresses. Next, add echo or delay. For jungle-style tension, short sync delays can add a lot without sounding huge. Try 1/8 or 1/4 sync, with moderate feedback and a dark filter so the repeats stay murky. If you use echo, keep the modulation subtle and don't overdo the noise or wobble features. Just a little movement is enough. After that, put on a darker reverb or hybrid reverb. Keep the decay moderate, the pre-delay short, and roll off the top end so the space feels smoky rather than shiny. Finally, use utility to manage width. Keep the low mid content under control, widen only if needed, and avoid spreading the whole thing too much if it starts to fight the drum impact. Now let's talk MIDI and automation. A riser usually works best with a long note or a sustained phrase, often over 4, 8, or 16 bars depending on the transition. For a full build, 8 bars is a strong starting point. For a quicker switch up, 4 bars can work. For a tiny lift before a drop, even 2 bars can be enough. On the tonal layer, you can hold one note and automate the pitch and filter, or you can create a simple motif that moves through the root, the minor second, the minor third, the fifth, and the octave. In this style, a small melodic idea can be more powerful than a giant cinematic gesture. Automate the rack macros gradually. Bring rise up over time. Let space bloom toward the end. Add a little grit as the build gets more intense. Open the tonal filter slowly. Increase delay feedback slightly. Make the whole thing feel like pressure is building, and then let the drop answer it. That's the important mindset here. The riser should not become the drop. It should open the door for the drop. To make it feel more 90s inspired, lean into lo-fi character on purpose. Resample the rack to audio if you want the layers glued together. Add a touch of redux if you want bit depth grime. Use a little drum boss or saturator before the reverb. Print a darker version for the intro if you want something that sits under the breaks and creates a more cohesive atmosphere. A bit of imperfection goes a long way. Tiny pitch drift, slight cutoff movement, and subtle level changes can feel more dangerous than big dramatic sweeps. If the rack sounds good but still feels a little separate, resample it. Arm an audio track, record the performance, then chop out the best parts. You can reverse a segment, add fades, or re-import the audio and process it again. Resampling is a huge part of getting that sampled, found sound vibe that sits naturally in jungle and old-school DNB. A few common mistakes to watch out for. 1. Too much brightness. If your riser is all top-end, it'll sound modern and sterile. 2. No mid-range body. Noise alone can disappear in a busy arrangement, so keep some tonal content in there. 3. Too many layers fighting each other. 3 layers is enough if each one has a job. 4. Overblown automation. If everything rises too much, nothing feels special. Keep a few key movements strong and let the rest stay subtle. And 5. Reverb washing out the rhythm. DNB needs punch, so keep the space controlled and the decay sensible. Here's a really useful mindset shift. In old-school DNB, the best risers are less about being huge and more about controlled and ease. Make the listener feel the build before they consciously register it. Let one layer be emotionally dominant. Think in frequency roles. Noise handles the upper motion. Tone handles the mid-range tension. Texture handles age and character. Build contrast too. If the section before the riser is dry, narrow, and stable, the riser will hit much harder. And always remember, the drop is the answer. Don't make the riser so massive that it competes with what comes next. As a final creative exercise, try making three versions of the same rack. First, a minimal dread version with only two active chains, no delay, and a very restrained pitch rise. Second, a grit-heavy break version with a break-derived texture, saturation, and filtering doing most of the work. Third, a wide collapse version, where the stereo image opens up only at the end and the final moment has a strong contrast shift. Listen to which one feels the most authentic, which one supports the drums and bass best, and which layer is actually doing the heavy lifting.